welcome. Surrogacy has become a heated topic of debate in the past few weeks, with the Indian government taking commercial surrogacy head-on. The Surrogacy Regulation Bill, which was introduced by the Health and Family Welfare Minister Harshvardhan in the Lok Sabha, proposes a ban on commercial surrogacy or paying a woman to carry a baby in her womb for 9 months and restricting the practice to blood relatives alone. The bill aims to allow only, and I'm quoting here, ethical and altruistic surrogacy and only to infertile Indian couples. And it gets more specific. Only couples who've been married for at least 5 years will be able to opt for this procedure. Only a blood relative will be permitted to act as a surrogate, and there can be no monetary compensation involved. The husband must be between 26 to 55 years of age. The wife must be between 23 to 50 years of age. Overseas Indians, foreigners, unmarried couples, single parents, live-in partners and gay couples are barred from commissioning the services of surrogate mothers. We're asking tonight, is the move to ban commercial surrogacy in India a needed step to prevent poor women from being exploited by those seeking to rent their wombs? Or is it a move that will dash the hopes of millions of couples, as well as unmarried singles, LGBT persons, divorcees and others? The government claims that regulating surrogacy will put an end to rampant commercialization of the practice. But will it, in the process, leave a lot of women from underprivileged backgrounds who lend their wombs worse off? On the show, Naina Patel, a surrogacy expert, the medical director of the Akansha Hospital and Research Institute in Anand, Gujarat. She's assisted in the birth of over 13,000 babies. 13,000 babies via surrogacy. We have Dr. Shivani Sachdev Gaur, IVF and surrogacy specialist, founder and director of the SCI Healthcare New Delhi. From the BJP, we have Lalita Kumar Mangalam. She's a former chairperson of the National Commission for Women. She supported the provisions of the Surrogacy Regulation Bill 2016 that aimed to ban commercial surrogacy too. We have Renuka Chaudhary from the Congress, a former minister, women and child development. We have Professor Madhavi Menon. She's the director of the Center for Studies in Gender and Sexuality at Ashoka University. Aditya Advani, a gay parent. He became a parent via surrogacy. He's from Delhi. And we have Mr. Deshratan Nigam, a lawyer, political activist and a member of the RSS. Dr. Naina Patel, I want to ask you first. You have assisted, like we've just said, over 13,000 babies via surrogacy. Now, the government is well-intentioned here, it says. Your response?
Well, I'd like to make one correction. It is not 13,000. It is 1,428 babies via surrogacy in a period of 12 years. 13,000 is IVF babies.
IVF. Okay. Surrogacy about 1,400. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. The thing is that the bill, which is restricting so many couples, is really a very sad and black day for infertile couples. These couples are very genuine couples. There could be stray cases of celebrities doing it, but genuine middle class couples would be the main sufferers in this. The second is the surrogates. If they get a little compensated, there is nothing wrong in it. It's a life-saving situation, life-changing situation for them. And overall, I feel that genetic relative will be impossible for the couples to find. That is a sister of the husband or sister of the wife. So that means we are virtually stopping surrogacy, even in the altruistic way if we want to do it. Because a non-blood relation can also not do it if she wants to altruistically do for the couple. And this will lead to childless divorces. And the worst thing, what we are doing is second exploitation. There will be so much of underground surrogacy which will go unaccountable, and exploitation will be at its peak for the couple, surrogates, and the people to be.
So well-intentioned, but it was actually not going to serve the purpose it's out, it's been made for, you're saying. But doctor, you know, address the issue of exploitation, of malpractice. You hear that surrogates are coerced by abusive husbands, by pimps. Women basically are being used as a vessel, is what many would say. There's a journalist, Julie Bindel. She wrote an article in The Guardian. She said it was a common practice to plant embryos in two or more surrogates and then perform abortions if more than one pregnancy takes hold. Address this issue, please.
This all can be regulated. even if it's a commercial surrogacy, I don't say commercial, compensated surrogacy, it can be easily regulated by all the norms that can be put in. Like Canada has opened up surrogacy commercial in a big way now. United States is doing it. UK is doing altruistic surrogates, just see non-blood relatives. So if that is possible over there, why is it not possible in India? There should be specific central agencies, state agencies, which should look into each and every case, and proper protection to the surrogates can be given.
Okay, so regulate, why ban is what you're saying. Dr. Gaur, the government says it's been forced to, bring about this bill, this proposal. Mothers not being given food, not being looked after, which to me sounds illogical, because if you were carrying my child, it's in my interest to make sure you're looked after, you get exercise, you get nourishment. But postpartum care supposedly is non-existent after sometimes. Surrogates are paid in installments. What happens if there's a miscarriage? What happens if, they don't they're not able to, the baby doesn't connect? What's your response?
See, 90% of the cases that take place go along very smoothly. There is absolutely no problem. There is a small proportion of cases where there could be some problems which are happening. But in a mature democracy, can a ban ever be the answer? It cannot be an answer. What is the answer? You make rules, you make regulations. If somebody is not following those regulations, give them exemplary punishments. So the solution that our society has also put forward, even the Joint Parliamentary Committee has put this forward, that a ban can never be an answer. I am seeing people every day in the clinic. I have assisted more than 1,400 babies by surrogacy through my clinic in the last 10 years. Every day we meet women, we meet surrogate mothers, parents, and what they say is that if you tell us to get a blood relative in this age category who can only do one-time embryo transfer, it is impossible. That means that 99.9% of cases will not be able to have any kind of treatment at all. How can that be a solution? The solution is to make rules, regulations, and guidelines. The solution is not to absolutely, it is said, throw the baby out with the bathwater. That can never be a solution. When you talk about altruistic surrogacy, do you know that in Canada, in UK, in Australia, wherever altruistic surrogacy is done, it is compensated? The woman is not a relative, she is an unknown person, and she gets a proper compensation. So
even
how is
it altruistic then?
But worldwide, if you read the Joint Parliamentary Committee's report, they have published this. Worldwide altruism is actually compensation. I'm sure Dr. Naina Patel will also agree. This is what she just mentioned. That
okay,
worldwide there is compensation.
Interestingly, two of leading practitioners here, you are admitting that there is some malpractice, at least 10%. And has the industry itself worked to overcome this over the years? But Lalitha Kumaramangalam, what you're hearing here from Dr. Gaur is that the government is basically, you've made it impossible. You're saying you've given these little loopholes, certain ways that you can go in for surrogacy, but on the ground, in reality, it's impossible. The fact is, for women of my generation, we have science. Times have changed. We're lucky, unlike women from previous generations, but they didn't have an option today. Science has come to our rescue. Why are we preventing that?
Will you give me 5 minutes? I will tell you the background behind why we worked on this bill, and it was actually worked on by the NCW when I was the chairperson. Now, it's very obvious that in India there is enormous pressure on a woman to be a mother, specifically a mother to her own child, regardless. The lives of many women have been ruined. We call women who can't bear babies of their own many ugly names, etc. There is also in India enormous pressure to have one's own child, and I say this within inverted commas. The best of families, the biggest of families, it doesn't make a difference. Neither religion nor income nor education seems to be a bar to this. A woman is only a complete woman if she can be a mother. This is one of the most patriarchal norms that has destroyed lives of many, many women around not just India, but since we're talking about India and a bill about India, I wanted to place this, put this on the table. Now, insofar as this bill is concerned, what most of the doctors will say is that the RTI Act already exists. Now, let's go back to when that act was first introduced and the outrage that the medical community, specifically the gynecologists and those who had these labs, you know, that their outrage and their anger that came outpouring. But don't forget that we really don't know. There are no statistics from people who are not involved in either the Saragati or the RTI industry, where we know how much actually malpractice takes place. When you pay for surrogacy, you are putting a woman who is already disadvantaged. I haven't heard of any woman who is wealthy enough to not be a surrogate, voluntarily become a surrogate in this country. They are normally poor women, and there is a lot of malpractice. Believe me, there were so many cases that came before me as NCW chairperson. I don't want to go into all those details. There's not enough time here. But the fact is that there are multiple pregnancies women are forced to go through, and poor women, for the amount of 1 lakh or 2 lakhs or 3 lakhs, are more than willing to rent out their wombs. In a way, isn't this a miscarriage of justice to you know, women who are already almost pulverized by the existing patriarchal system of this country? Now, there is always, and maybe you think I'm sounding callous, but when I speak today not as a member of any political party, but as a woman who's worked with poor and disadvantaged women since 91. So I'm saying that the choice is always there for people to adopt. It's not easy. Yes, there are many rules there, but commercial surrogacy in India is not as simple or as clear or as honest as is being pointed out by many people. I don't want to name names. I don't want to, you know, sort of cast slurs on any particular profession or anything like that. But the truth is that too many women have, in the name of commercial surrogacy, suffered. Yeah, there are some women who've made some money, but then they're also farmed out literally by their families. It's not always their husbands. It's also women who want to have a better life for their families. They feel this is an easy way to do it.
And what's wrong with that?
I mean, I have handled enough cases where women have come to me, women who are over 18, where they say that postpartum, they just left. You know, they're just left aside. The child is taken away from them. Children are not breastfed. There are no breast milk banks for the children also. Also think about what happens when there are multiple pregnancies. And this really has not been, I don't think there's data on this. But anybody who's worked or talked to women who have not been brought to the table by the doctors from these clinics will tell you that there is much, much more malpractice, and it's much more common than we know it is. There is no data on this, unfortunately.
Okay, so you've raised a lot of
points. But it is a bill that should have been actually brought in a long time ago.
Okay, so the first point you raised is that you said, given our society, there's so much pressure on a woman to bear a child, to bear your own child. Given that, then why
yes.
not? Why
you
push?
Must
because
be
Dr.
A, you
God
must
just
mother,
says
your
what
own
this
child,
is going to lead
your,
to is you know more divorces,
child,
a lot more
thing.
Pressure on women who haven't been able to bear children.
You know, maybe I sound very, again, perhaps some people may think I'm sounding very callous, but marriage is not the be-all and end-all of a woman's life today. What it was 20, 50, 100 years ago is not for us to comment. We're living in the 21st century today. It's 2019. There are increasingly young women who choose not to get married. And they find there are women of my generation who have been single for many reasons. I myself am a single mother from 1991-95, right? It's not as if, I'm not saying that marriage when it's good is not great, but marriage is not the be-all and end-all of life.
But
so
then, for example, this bill excludes anyone who's not married.
That she can't give birth to a child.
It's interesting
then
you say that, ma'am, because
you know,
this bill excludes anyone who is not married
actually.
Cannot
imagine
go down this
going
path,
to
cannot use this option.
Look, anyone who is not married always has the option to adopt. And many people do. There are both celebrities and women who have the economic capacity to be able to bring up a child who've adopted, and they're very happy with their children. Surrogacy is not the only way out.
Aditya, can the government decide for you whether you or government tell you what is best for you? You should adopt, or whether you should have a biological child, or how you should have your child, or if you can have a child.
See, this
in
is,
your case,
this is a free country. And you know what they've done is, it's a very patriarchal thing they've done actually, and it is a callous thing actually, ma'am, that you're doing, and you're sounding very callous. and you're sounding very patriarchal because you're telling women who want to go able to make a little bit of money and forward their families and make some betterment for their families are surrogate. I am a father who had children through surrogacy, and the surrogate is very, very happy. She's had a very happy experience. She calls me and says, "You've changed my life. I am, you know, so much better in the world. I have a new house. I can put my children to school. I have a little shop now."
You're still in touch with your
family. Yeah, I am. And they're human beings and they're completely fine. And it's a complete fallacy that without the basis of any data, the lady is saying, "Without, we don't have any data, but there is a lot of malpractice and we must stop it." And so that is just completely ridiculous to say there is no data, but we must stop it and there's a lot of malpractice. She has no idea what she's talking about. All the surrogates I met were very happy. They chose to do it willingly. And it's a win-win situation. It's a win-win situation because for the people who are infertile and for the people who want to have a little bit of money to further their life, yes, the poor need a leg up in life. This helps them have a leg up. And it's actually an anti-poor bill. And it's an anti-woman bill because they're allowing
many who've done hundreds of these, surrogate babies. And they're both admitting that there is a certain percentage of malpractice.
Well, half our politicians are criminals, for example. Do we think about them at all? There's malpractice in everything. How many of our politicians in the Rajya Sabha or the Lok Sabha have criminal cases against them? There's malpractice everywhere. It should be ruled. You should have rules. And it's not a surrogacy regulation bill. We should call this a surrogacy banning bill. There's no regulation. They should regulate how much the surrogate is getting paid, if she's getting taken care of. Instead of doing that, they've decided, the heterosexuals are better than gay people. Gay people shouldn't have children. Single people are terrible. They shouldn't have children. It's completely bogus.
Professor Menon, Lalita Kumaramangalam says that, women, they're making money, they're pushed, they're disadvantaged, they're from lower socioeconomic stratas and they're doing this by force. But do we provide them with an alternative? When the government says you cannot do this, are we providing them some other way to provide for their kids?
You know, what's interesting is that anything that a woman chooses to do or does is somehow miraculously not a profession any longer. So if a woman uses her body to have children or have sex, somehow that is not a profession and it somehow has to be regulated by the government. This is a profession like anything else. Like all professions, there is exploitation. Do you mean to tell me that Uber drivers in India are not exploited? Uber famously underpays its drivers around the world. Are we banning Uber in India? Are we banning any other professions or multinational corporations? We simply are not willing to think about women as deserving to earn their own financial keep. We want women to be dependent. We want women, especially the poor women. I am shocked to hear the earlier panelists say, the surrogate earns 1, 2, or 3 lakh rupees only. I'm sorry, for many people, that's a lot of money. And it's a lot of money that they deserve to earn, in many cases, in the only way that society will allow them to earn.
Can I come in here,
and just
please?
Because it is their bodies that is being used, doesn't mean it's any less legitimate a profession. Does not mean it is any less important for their lives. It is a profession like anything else. And I'm really tired of the government interfering and telling women what to do with their bodies. Are you outlawing sperm donations? Are you outlawing sperm banks? No, men can do whatever they want with their bodies. This mystification of women's bodies, this mystification of women's sexuality is really reaching dangerous proportions in India today.
Lalita Kumaramangalam, respond. This is a hypocrisy. This is the hypocrisy of the government. But the question is, why can't surrogacy be treated as a service? Why don't you have contracts? Why don't you have more regulation? Why a ban? Respond here to Professor Menon.
Yeah, the point here is that most of the women who are surrogates do not have the necessary levels of education or awareness or training or various other things along the same lines to even know what informed
consent. They take away this option.
They do it for the money. Yes, if you look at it, let me finish. I didn't interrupt. Please let me finish.
Go ahead, ma'am.
If I'll be allowed to complete what I was going to say, I'll talk. Otherwise, there's no point in it.
Go ahead, ma'am.
May I finish? Yeah. Now, it is true that they do it for the money because they want the money in order to meet whatever whatever expenses they feel they need to make. But that is not informed choice. And if you talk about the commercialization of women's bodies, this is also, this is also a country where tomorrow, I was one of the people who said it almost as soon as I became the chairperson of the NCW, that sex work should be legalized. We're hypocritical enough to say that it shouldn't. So this is not a question of hypocrisy here. This is also a question of exploitation of women's bodies. And, well, you can say that a woman can choose to be exploited. And while I don't disagree if anybody says that there is a lot of inequality in society, not just in India, all over the world, that doesn't that cannot somehow be the reason for us to continue to close our eyes to the sort of inequity that is fostered by the commercial surrogacy practice. I'm not saying that we don't have beggars on streets. I'm not saying that women are not already disempowered, but that is not the argument that one should use here.
You're saying this
because
is not
there are other women who are disempowered
choice.
And don't have a choice. It
so the government
mean that
is deciding for these women that this is not an informed choice. Dr. Gaur, have surrogates, were they taken into consideration? Did the government speak with surrogates before?
The government
before?
Is not deciding. The government has come to this conclusion after a huge amount of consultations, etc.
But did you consult with surrogates?
No, madam. There was no consultation with the surrogate mothers. The
yes,
first
we
time
did.
There was consultation was in the joint parliamentary committee meeting. I know because I myself was there in the joint parliamentary committee meeting. I was one of the people who was making an oral presentation over there. That was the first time that the surrogate mother's view was considered. And their statement was that they are currently working in jobs which are equally, if not more exploitative than what surrogacy would be. This is in writing which is given. They have given in writing that this attitude is extremely paternalistic and it's not the right way forward. And this was after the first time that surrogate mothers actually got to speak to our honorary members of parliament themselves.
So interesting. So they're already in jobs that are exploitative and then the government claiming to protect them from exploitation. We have a surrogate mom here. She is pregnant. This is, we're not going to use her real name. We're going to go with Pinky, which is her surrogate name. Pinky, aap bataiye, aap surrogate mom ho, aap ek baar apni surrogacy ki hai ek couple ke liye. Ab sarkar keh rahi hai ki dekho itni rampant exploitation hoti hai. Ma'am yahan pe keh rahi hai ki आपकी इन्फॉर्म्ड चॉइस नहीं है, आपको किस कोई फोर्स कर रहे हैं, आपके हस्बैंड कोई और
नहीं
है,
मैं अपना मर्जी से आई हूं, अपना मर्जी से आई थी यहां.
तो आप ये क्यों करते हो?
ये हम लोग को गरीब, मतलब कि कुछ अंदर काम करके कोई फायदा होता नहीं है, इसमें कुछ आमदनी हो जाता है, इसलिए सोचती हूँ कि करवा लूंगी तो फायदा भी रहूंगी. ये करवाने के बाद मैं जमीन सब ले चुकी हूँ, पहले भी करवाई थी तो करवा के फिर मैंने जमीन लिया. फिर मैंने बोला कि दूसरा बार करवा लेती हूँ, उसमें भी घर द्वार बना लूंगी, बच्चे को पढ़ाई लिखाई भी तो करना जरूरी
आपके
है.
आपके कितने बच्चे हैं?
मेरे दो बच्चे हैं.
तो ये आइडिया आपको कहाँ से, आपके हस्बैंड ने सजेस्ट की थी या
आपने? नहीं, मैं किसी और से सुना था, तो अपना मर्जी से मैं आके यहाँ ये करी थी.
और आपको कोई रिग्रेट्स नहीं है?
जी नहीं.
आपके बच्चे पढ़ रहे हैं?
जी.
क्या कर रहे हैं?
पढ़ रहे, भी छोटे हैं तो पढ़ रहे हैं.
तो मैम कहते हैं कि डॉक्टरों ने भी एडमिट की है कि एक्सप्लॉयटेशन होती है और सरकार की काम तो ये है कि उनको देखनी है कि एक्सप्लॉयटेशन नहीं हो औरतों की, स्पेशली औरतों की. तो आप क्या कहोगे?
नहीं, औरतों की तो हर कुछ में ये करना चाहिए ना, देखभाल में, मतलब कि ऐसा ना हो कि गवर्नमेंट बोलता है कि बंद करवा दे, बंद करवाने में हम लोग को परेशानी हो जाएगा सब.
आपको
कुछ
और परेशानी होगी?
जी, बंद करवाने के बाद में तो सबको परेशानी हो जाएगी. ये चीज हम लोग को फायदा के लिए होता है ना.
तो आप दूसरी बार करोगे? कितने बार आप करोगे अगर ये बिल नहीं आएगी? हम
बिल का मतलब
ये जो सरकार जो प्लान कर रही है कि इसको बैन करेंगे, अगर वो नहीं होगा तो आपके पास चॉइस है, आप एक बार कर सकते हो, आपने तो कर ली, दो बार कर सकते हो, आप कितने बार करोगे?
हो सकता है तो और भी भरा करवा सकती हूँ, इसमें तो कोई दिक्कत नहीं है मुझे. यहाँ पर ही ना कोई दवाई में या मेडिसिन में, डॉक्टर चेकअप में, सब कुछ में सुविधा मिलता है, कोई दिक्कत नहीं होता है. मुझे कोई परेशानी है नहीं, इसलिए अपना मर्जी से आई हूँ. ना पति का जोर जबरदस्ती है, ना ससुराल वाले का, कहीं किसी से ही नहीं है.
Alright, Renika Chaudhary, please come in over here. You've heard the surrogate mom saying that she is doing this of her own will and she is not
for the government banning this. You are taking away her choice to do this, to provide for her own family. And without this, she would have to work in an equally, if not, or, you know, I'm not saying this is exploitative. In her case, she's saying it's not. She would have to work in an exploitative job.
No, not all jobs are exploitative, but yes, there is a percentage of exploitation that happens with women all over the country in all fields of work. So that, leaving that aside, surrogacy, altruistic surrogacy is a farce, because you can't say that the family, within the family, that someone will volunteer. And there is such a pressure on the girl within the family framework to then produce a child for someone who the family decides who it is. So it's actually a very grey area that we are treading in, and to say it's in black and white that yes, you can or you can't. Yes, there is exploitation. There are laws that are supposed to prevent exploitation. Do we implement the laws? That is the point. Everything then boils down to the lawmakers and the implementation ability. And you look at it in every field, the porosity of implementing these laws is so large. It's so huge. And you know, there is a certain hypocrisy when we are acting so pious about everything and saying that the women, we are protecting the women by doing A, B and C. And if you look at the pressure of a societal weight that a woman carries, look at the percentage of reportage of women who have been stealing other people's children. Why do they have to do it? And you look at what happens with women who can't bear children, like the good doctor was talking about. There's huge, tremendous pressure. And the laws that you bring about in surrogacy have to reflect the gay communities and the same-sex marriages also. You have to work in tandem with changing laws in the country and remain dynamic. So by bringing about a ban, it's not going to work.
So you are cracking down on women who are pressurized by husbands and pimps, but you're leading to other women, maybe sister-in-laws, sisters, who will be pressurized by families and mother-in-laws and the extended family to, you know, carry babies for others. Deshwatanizam, please come in over here. There is an inherent
hypocrisy here. Suppose the boy of the family is infertile.
Then what would happen to the wife? She would probably be put out on the streets. But Mr. Gandhi, coming over here, the government has shown no urgency to act on other exploitative forms of employment for women. But they are pushing not once but twice. This bill was introduced in 2016. It didn't go through because the parliament session ended. Now they pushed it through again within the first few months of Modi 2.0. So much interest in pushing through something like this that is really not inclusive. It's just this... critics are calling it this Sanskari bill. It's leaving out so many people, if they're gay, single women who may want widows. What happens to all of them?
Let me answer. It's not the government which is responsible for enacting a law. It is the parliament. Government job is only to put a bill in the parliament. And the parliamentarians
who
are...
And the government has prioritized this bill over
others.
Fine.
But then it is in the domain of parliament. Government's role is to introduce a bill in the parliament. Then it is the job of the parliamentarians to pick it up and discuss and thrash it out. Now, these are elected representatives belonging to all the political parties. And therefore, the bill is to be discussed and then it will be finally passed. There may be amendments, there may not be any amendments. So, there is a context to introduction of this bill. There was, you know, smuggling of embryos and gametes taking place, sale and purchase of embryos was taking place, sex selection was also going on, you know, trying to choose a selection then terminating the pregnancy. And therefore, there is an entire context apart from exploitation that a lot of people talked about. So that is the context. I can agree that some people have been left, but this law is still in the making, is still in the, you know, stage where as it progresses, amendments can be brought in and people can be included. The working of the law will be seen on the ground. So at this stage, you know, the bill has come to regulate
it. But talk specifically about that aspect of this bill that wants to leave out gay couples, single men, single women, divorced women, widows. You know, interestingly, this in 2016, the surrogacy bill was first introduced
2 weeks after homosexuality was decriminalized by the Supreme Court.
See, let me answer that. The bill is in the domain of the parliament now. Anybody can move that amendments out there. And we must not at this stage rule out that the amendments will not be moved. There are people like Renuka Chaudhary talked about, it is their party also, but people from the BJP can also, you know, move those amendments in the parliament, and that can be considered. At this stage, it is just a bill, not a law. And those amendments and discussions can take place and their, you know, points of view can be considered. And parliament in its wisdom may accept it or reject it. To say that government, it is government's job. No, government's job is only to introduce it. And then it is the wisdom of the parliament who are duly elected representatives of the party. And that is the process that we have. So let's not blame the government. If the parliament in its wisdom, and these parliamentarians are very experienced, connected to the grassroots, and if they have the feedback, if they have
no, if they any reassurance,
no, if they
feel a little more confident,
if they have the feedback from the ground that there are certain, you know, eligible people who are being left out, I am sure it will be raised in the parliament.
But
I just think that it's a very petty bill. It's just a very small-hearted and petty bill, and there's no reason for the government to push it. All the people who are worried about exploitation of women should consider paying the bais who come into their house and clean their house for so little money every day, so that they might be able to save a little bit of money. They pay them nothing. They treat them like nothing. Those people can't save any money all their lives. This allows them in one go to have a nice pot of change so they can actually implement something in their lives. All these same hypocritical people, including the parliamentarians, are paying the women who work in their houses nothing and say, oh, we mustn't exploit women. So why not regulate housework? I think, why not put a pressure on that? Why shouldn't the government bring forth a bill that shows how do we treat our domestic workers, who are mostly women? So why is there this need to surrogate? I just don't understand the need to be petty and small-minded. And of course, I'm not going to trust the majority parliamentarian. I'm a gay man. Gay people have been discriminated against for years and centuries. And the Supreme Court came out and said, well, we must apologize to the gay people for the discrimination we have against them. So now we have a bill in the parliament that's discriminatory. Am I going to trust those same people who are going to now make a bill in my favor? The government hasn't moved forward on the Supreme Court's recommendations to make gay subjects visible in schools and offices, etc. I'm not going to trust those people. I don't have any, and I don't think it's anything to do with the women. It's totally uncompassionate. It has no compassion for the poor women. Mm-hmm. It's an uncompassionate bill.
Let me just
uncompassionate, hypocritical
ten,
bill.
Ten,
quickly,
ten,
and then
ten,
Professor
Menon. You know, we all agree there was no law on the subject, and therefore there was, you know, the womb of women's womb was industrialized and commercialized, and the profit motive had creeped in. That profit motive led to a different kind of industry where agents also came in who started exploiting. So it could not be left to the whims and fancies of few, but it had to be regulated.
So it's not being regulated, it's being banned.
No, certain commercial.
Why not first regulate
commercial,
then?
No, commercial has been banned. The otherwise, but I agree about the close relative thing, which has not been defined. You know, in our society, majority of our society, I'm not talking about Muslim society, we have something called sapinda relationship. You cannot marry within 5 generations. And then the 6th generation onwards, you can marry. Now, would somebody within the close relative offer this, say within the 5 degrees of sapinda relationship? I have my doubts on that.
Correct.
That they would offer.
I think this raises a lot of issues.
So that
on
is
the
an
blood
issue
relative
that needs
issue.
Consideration.
What about, isn't there going to be, let's, you know, a psychological stress on the surrogate if it's a blood relative? Because you will have to be within the vicinity and see this child growing up. And your, I mean, what is your relationship with the child?
You carry
this child. Isn't it complicating
more?
Matters much more?
That
absolutely
requires
and,
consideration.
And not and to mention that it is in fact incestuous. Right? That you're having a blood relation if a man is asking his sister to carry his sperm with somebody else's
so
egg.
That is the sapinda relationship we have in law, and you're not allowed
incest,
to marry.
It is clear, and of course, I mean, this idea of Hindu communities is completely wrong.
Confidentiality
for instance,
is a huge issue.
I'll just sort of try quickly finish. For instance, in the South, you can easily marry your first cousin, and that is not considered. You don't have to wait for 5 generations of separation. So, in fact, there is no uniformity to this alleged Hindu community. All I will say is, and I just want to sort of, at the risk of repeating myself, the idea that this cannot be treated as a profession is that the fundamental root of the problem here. Hmm. All professions in India need to be regulated, especially professions that deal with people who are not wealthy. Obviously, wealthy women are not putting their wombs for hire because they don't need the money. The women who need the money, this becomes their profession. And unless we start treating women as professionals, we are not going to accord them the respect that they deserve. And in order not to sort of allow exploitation, and I think no one is opposed to regulation. I don't think any of us sitting here, anybody is opposed to regulation. We don't want people to be exploited. But why this profession and nothing else? Because there is a certain narrative being spun here about the ideal woman, about the ideal heterosexual family, about the ideal Indian, about the ideal Indian man and ideal Indian woman. And we must not forget, you asked why this rush to push through this bill. This is the rush. There is a desire to wrest narrative control of this country. And that narrative control insists on defining to us what a pure woman is and what a pure man is, what a pure sexual relationship is. And it does not involve allowing women independence over their bodies or choices about what to do with their professions.
There is this issue of confidentiality also. You know, for today we asked 50 people, are you ready to come on the show? Are you ready to put forward your point of view? They say this is a secret matter. We don't discuss this. We don't discuss it
in
our family.
Which is why Pinky's also kept her face covered and she's going by a different name.
But this takes away all their confidentiality. They are exposed in front of the whole family, extended family, as an infertile couple. They have to go and beg everybody. You're talking about psychology, and the first thing that came to me is, what about the couple who loses all confidentiality in this case?
See, I think,
but Aditya, in your case, you're still in touch with the surrogate.
I am. Why not? Sometimes she needs my help. I continue to help her. But I want to go back to commercialization. Why everything is commercialized? The legal profession is the most commercialized profession. Why not put boundaries around how much lawyers make? Why not have upper ends of how much people should be made? They make enormous amounts of money. So why is it the poor person? Everything is for commercial. Of course, everyone does everything for commercial.
Kumar Mangalam, if the government fears rampant commercialization, it's become a big industry, Mr. Nigam is saying over here, why doesn't the government then fix the amount that these women can get? You're saying 1 lakh, 2 lakh. Fix it
make
at 5,
lakhs.
Fix it at
20,
10, yeah. Fix it at 20. If you're saying a rich woman will never have to do this, only a poor woman will do it, fix it at whatever you want then.
Have women have bank accounts in their name so it goes to them. I mean, there are any number of things you can do.
And the women who work in your house, pay them 25,000, 30,000 a month.
Lalita Kumaramangalam. Also, you said at one point that, you know, marriage is not the be-all and end-all for any woman. But as a single woman, the Constitution says I have a right to choose if I want to have a child or if I don't want to have a child. But if I'm not married and if I am a lesbian, you are taking that right away from me, which is constitutionally given to me by the Constitution.
I'm not about to comment on the Indian Constitution. I'm not a legal expert on that, so it would be a bit too specious on my part to speak about that. But what you were talking about has just been sort of almost emphasized by some of the other panelists, that it is true that it is only the poor women who are surrogates. Now, when we come to capitalizing on women's poverty, I'd like to tell the gentleman I appreciate his emotion and his passion, but not all of us treat our maids badly. When they are treated badly, I agree, the government should step in and there should be some regulation there. But then, as I was saying, because something wrong exists somewhere else, it doesn't mean that we allow it to continue in this direction. As Mr. Nigam said, the bill is not yet final. If there are populations that have been left out, well, I'm sure that given the fact that people are now speaking up, and rightly so, that there will be a consideration given to several of the populations that have already been mentioned, even by you, Sunetra.
Sarah.
even by you. Now, but we cannot get away from the fact that this has been commercialized to the extent that India had even become a hub for surrogacy for people who came in from other countries where surrogacy is banned. And there are several cases, and these have been documented, where children have been abandoned in the case of twins, if a child has Down syndrome, etc., etc. Now, all of this is done very often with the knowledge of the medical professionals who are involved with it. It could well be said that every profession has its risks. Yes, every profession does. Okay. But when we see something wrong happening, is it not right that we step in and try to limit it?
Naina, please respond over here. You are disagreeing vociferously. Go ahead.
That other wrong should be tolerated?
It's about breastfeeding. The intended is breastfeeding the patient. From 5th month onwards of the subject pregnancy, the lady goes on to medication, natural herbs. By the bite, her baby is born, she can feed her baby. This is induced lactation. So most of my intended parents there. Second, the empowerment of the surrogate and empowerment of the couple. My surrogate with my surrogate's wife. Her daughter is studying MBBS, school 30. It has possible without her surrogate too. There are hundreds of them. You treat your kid properly, we treat all of our surrogates properly. So that doesn't mean that 10% is fixed, we should totally ban it. Please give them a chance to get empowered. Please give the ladies who are not having children get empowered.
Give them a chance to empower themselves. But Dr. Gaur, come in over here. You know, you hear so much about fashion surrogacy of women who choose to go in for this because they don't want to ruin their figures, their bodies. What about all of these aspects?
See, as far as India is concerned, whenever somebody approaches us for treatment, we are very particular here that it is only for medical indications. I mean, the social indications are generally not practiced in India. I mean, if there are some cases like that, that is not what our society is also agreeing with. We are very clear on this that surrogacy is only for medical indication. Because when you talk about surrogacy for social indications, that becomes a completely different subject altogether. And we don't really, from the medical point of view, we are focused just on medical treatment. Not really on this.
Lalita Kumar Mangalam, you say it's the rich don't have to go in for this, and the fact is, in the end, it is the rich who are going to be unaffected because they can still go to Thailand and all of these other places, and they will still have their children via surrogacy. You're just making it harder for them. We had Lisa Ray on We the People a few weeks ago, and she said that she was in the middle of the process in 2016 when the government passed this introduced this bill, and then she had to go to Georgia. And she said it was much harder, but she did it. She would have preferred to do it in India, would have been cheaper for her to do it in India, but like there'll be others like her who will still go abroad. In the end, it will be women like Pinky who have no option, who will be affected, not the rich.
What you're saying is probably true, but that is a different aspect of this problem. Rich people get away with a lot of things all over the world. It's not just India. But just because rich women can afford to go abroad and have their children via surrogacy there, it doesn't mean that in India we continue to close our eyes to the amount of malfeasance, malpractice, whatever word you want to use, continues. I'm saying this again, and I'm sorry if you think I'm sounding callous, but after having seen the state of surrogates who have come to me, 5 girls from a village once came to me in about 2015, the end of 2015. And their story was pathetic and they were miserable. Two of them had, later on I was told, one tried to commit suicide and succeeded, one didn't. But it's not as hunky-dory as is being presented on this show. There is an extremely dirty very murky underbelly to this whole situation here. Nobody is talking about women not being professionals, but in the profession that they are at, they shouldn't be just used, to say that they're making some money and they're making their lives a little more respectable. Believe me, many women, as many as you may have or many more that you may be able to see on your show or who came in front of the parliamentary committee, you will find many, many more women who have actually been misused by the entire system.
Dr. Naina, there is a dirty underbelly to this entire thing, which is what Lalita Kumara Mangalam is saying. But once you have the provisions that this government in this bill proposed, say only blood relatives, etc., will it remove that, or is it, are we going to see more different ways of this being done under the table?
Yes, it will be done under the table, where there will be a huge amount of consultation. I have a surrogate state. I went for a job of 4,000 rupees and I was used by the manager for taking the interview. I ran away from it. So what do you do after sex? So this is just taking away a nice joy of sex.
Dr. Gaur, respond to this.
Yes, I completely agree with Dr. Naina that this is a question of choice, and because somebody has had a bad experience, should that dictate the law of the land? It cannot be used to dictate a law. You have to look at all the sides and take everybody's opinion, not just a few small cases.
All right, let's actually get opinions from the audience members here. We have someone, ma'am, you have a view on this?
No, I have come for donation of kidney.
Kidney donation is, many would compare it, organ donation similar to
organ
this.
Donation.
So the government says it needs regulation, it can be misused. So where would you stand on this issue? Is the government doing the right thing? Is a ban the answer?
I think it should not be banned.
Why?
Because then people who are not having kids, they will be lacking the kids, they won't be having any kids. If the relations are to be taken, the relations won't agree for this.
Family members won't agree.
I don't think it's going to make it hard.
It's going to make it impossible.
Yeah.
But you
and
you,
everybody cannot go to foreign countries.
You're a recipient of a kidney donor. You've donated.
I am a kidney donor. I donated my kidney to my husband.
Okay. And so in the case of organ donation, for example, when the government cracks down, are there ways that people find? You think similarly, people will find other ways to go around this?
There are other ways then, but those are also wrong in my point of view, because there are many people who are just for the sake of money, they are donating their kidneys. Sometimes some people compel their wives to sell their kidney.
So if it's okay if it's not okay in this case, why is it okay for a kidney for people to sell a kidney or an organ for money? If it's okay in that case, it should be okay in this case.
No, I disagree on that only relatives should carry their child. I disagree at that point only. But I...
Did you try to buy a donor? Your first option?
No. My first option was, because he was my husband, we had spent so many good times together, so I wanted to
give... But what if you didn't match? Would you be willing to pay someone?
Sorry?
What if you didn't match?
If it didn't match,
yeah.
Then I would have to find someone, because I wanted to...
And you would be willing to pay? You think that's okay to pay for a...
Actually, my son was also saying that I would donate. My son said, you take my kidney because I am a young person. My young kidney will help him more. So I said, no, let me first try, because I have spent so many good times with him. It's my moral duty also. And I want that he should live life more with me.
But you would be okay if worse comes to worse, you would be okay to pay for it.
Then my son was ready and my elder brother was also
okay,
ready.
So you would not be okay, your husband is a very lucky man.
He's a lucky person. He said these words at the end that I'm lucky I got good medication and good family. I'm very much satisfied. He said, sorry.
All right. Anyone else? Quick response.
First of all, I would like to say that in our constitution provides us right to live. It means right to life. And life describes in our constitution that saans lena aur lete rehna zindagi nahi hota. It means choice and dignity of a person describes his life. And in this case, I would like to say, if any woman is ready to take some money and do this work, then what is the problem of government? Mm. Sir, I want to ask from you a question.
Mr. Nigam,
yes.
Are you married?
No, ma'am.
Okay, you have a girlfriend? What would you do? Would you be willing to go in for this if needed? Worst comes to worst?
Yes, if I need it, then I will certainly do this. And I have a big question to sir. Sir said that it leads to smuggling of embryos, sperms.
Not leads to, it was actually happening.
Yes, it is happening. I would like to say you, as we go to college, and if some of the students are getting kidnapped day by day, what you will do? You will call it, yeah, you will ban the college, or you will...
We have laws for that.
Okay.
We have laws for that.
Let me get quick, some more reactions.
So, two questions. One,
please,
I specifically wanted to ask, so any of these team panelists could answer. There have been previous ART bills, and initially the surrogacy regulation started from the ART bill, because there was an understanding that embryos, gametes, these need to be regulated. Now that the surrogacy bill 2016 came out, again, even during the standing committee report, it came out that why is it that we're not moving ahead with the ART bill? Because even if the surrogacy bill, as is, all provisions faulty, come into place today, not only will it go underground, the entire ERT industry would also get impacted by it.
Mm. And also IVF, there's so much misuse of IVF, sex selection, things like that. What's happening on that front?
I want to ask you, sir, there will be undue pressure from the family side if family will be included only in this. All women should be included in this.
I said so. This That's requires consideration.
We agree. So pressure, you're removing pressure on one woman, but putting pressure on another woman.
Well, it's quite obvious that wherever the money is involved, exploitation is inevitable, right?
Profit motive, the moment profit motive
obviously,
comes.
Obviously. Yeah. I do respect the views of Mr. Aditya that what the parliament, these MPs will do when, are they going to pay these ladies or not? That's the point, right? And what about multiple pregnancy, ma'am, Dr. Gaur? She has already 2 children, Mrs. Pinky. I'm talking about Ms. Pinky. And she is opting for one more pregnancy. Because basically she is taking as a money source of money, right? So this is the problem. Will it not going to affect her health? Like multiple pregnancy is always a risk
factor, right? Pinky, when did you first have surrogacy? 2013.
Yes. And this so is the second time.
Second time, 2013. The women who have
babies, we have criteria.
Like when we take a woman who wants to be a surrogate mother in a program, there is a checklist by the government. We have to fill it, and every month we have to submit the records. There is a bill called PNDT. Under that, we have to submit the records every month. So there is a form that you have to fill with a checklist, the age, how many children she has, what is her hemoglobin, what is her sugar, what is her blood pressure, everything is checked. So only when somebody is medically fit, a doctor will sign off, and only then we will submit the data to the authorities that yes, this is a surrogate mother, this is the program, this is commission, and this is the treatment that has been done. So there are strict guidelines and rules about it. Not everybody will be fit for the program. Mm.
Exactly.
All right. We are out of time. Thank you all for coming. Of course, we're having this debate on this issue at a time when hundreds of kids have died of encephalitis in states like Bihar, and also happens in states like UP. What is the government doing about that? The need for the government to push, the choice of the government to push on this bill, like Mr. Nigam says, there will be debate on this hopefully in Parliament. Will other political parties also speak up on this issue? Thank you for joining us. This is We the People. We believe it's important to speak up, but also important to listen. Thank you for joining us tonight.
At the risk of repeating myself, the idea that this cannot be treated as a profession is that the fundamental root of the problem here. Hmm. All professions in India need to be regulated, especially professions that deal with people who are not wealthy. Obviously, wealthy women are not putting their wombs for hire because they don't need the money. The women who need the money, this becomes their profession. And unless we start treating women as professionals, we are not going to accord them the respect that they deserve.